Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
And welcome to our 16th episode of Mediocrity, where the show is just, it's just okay. We're going to have an excellent, excellent episode. I've been looking forward to this episode for so long because it's going to totally destroy Jonathan Atterbury. I can't wait. It's October. We're in Dallas. The fall is almost finally here. It's Halloween season. It's going to be awesome. Oh my God, I'm Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics, High Def Digest, The Entertainment Answer. And to my right is the freshly shaven, well, not freshly shaven. We don't know how fresh you are. Let's smell you. Fresh.
Freshly showered.
Yeah, okay, good. Jonathan Atterbury, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How about you, man?
I'm doing all right. You have a Fleetwood Mac shirt on?
I do. I absolutely do.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you like Fleetwood Mac, but you don't like AC/DC.
I love AC/DC. What are you talking about?
I thought you didn't like AC/DC.
No, I love AC/DC.
What was the band that you don't like?
Oh, there's a lot. It's not AC/DC, though.
But do you like AC/DC with Axl Rose singing everything in falsetto?
Yeah, no. That I haven't heard, nor will I ever.
Nor will I ever. All right, good to see you.
Good to see you.
New American Fitness doing all right?
Doing great. Just been keeping up with the online coaching and writing articles and all the fun stuff.
All right. And to my left, we have the amazing comic book autist, Jeremy Clay Magert, who is real excited about the Rangers being in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I believe you made a post on, what, Jeremy Magert Art, that you're starting issue 3 of Primal Instinct, right?
Yes. I've done the cover and a couple pages.
Yeah? Is that going well?
It's going good.
All right. All right. I like it. And are you, how excited are you that the Rangers are in the playoffs?
I'm very excited.
Are you watching today?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you watching tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we'll God,
watch
yes.
All the games.
What t-shirt? Oh, you have a Star Wars t-shirt on today. Look at you.
Is that
an airplane from Star Wars?
It's a biplane.
It's the same one Amelia Earhart flew.
Yeah. Awesome. And then to your left, we have, how do you pronounce it? Is it Josie or Jose?
Fuck you.
No, we have...
Fuck you, Porter.
Yeah. Josie Porter is in the house today. She's been a guest on our show before. She hasn't been on in a while. But she's on our 16th episode. And you recently graduated with this really cool degree in, like, sound design. And you recently just got a job. What job are you doing? You'll be working in the movies, TV shows? What are you going to be doing?
What? I graduated last year.
Wow. Recently. Recently.
Okay, so I'm going to be working for a company called iStation, and they do educational interactive software, basically interactive games for struggling kids in school.
Oh, so you're helping people, too.
Yeah.
Is it just for struggling kids, or can happy kids play it, too?
I don't know. That's a good question.
They can play it if they're happily struggling.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you do sound design stuff, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we were having difficulties here, mainly because of Atterbury, trying to get our all mic set up. You brought a lot to the table.
I just watched.
So so your degree was in sound design?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So you're doing something you love.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Very cool. Maybe you can make our podcast sound better because we're mediocre right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You listen to the show, right?
Sometimes.
Sometimes? It make you laugh?
Yes.
All right, good. We're funny.
Laughing at us, maybe perhaps more than with us, but
yes,
I'll take it.
That's true. That's true. We have
now then it's like, man, you guys are dumb.
Yep.
Oh, that Star Wars episode. Y'all just don't know anything about Star Wars. But it is Halloween season, so we're going to have an excellent show today. We're going to talk about John Carpenter movies. We're going to talk about some of the best and worst horror video games that scared us or that we like to play. And we are going to do our part one, our first part of many parts. Aha. I'm just getting mouth... My mouth is watering already when we're talking about
it. Just getting mouth herpes thinking about
it. Yes. It's not herpes if it's everywhere. So we're going to talk about action movies from our childhood and really just how homoerotic there are. So it came to our attention that Atterbury loves these movies. He's like, what?
I like Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. That's not all of the movies.
He loves all of the movies. But we're going to go down a few of these movies in this part one, which we'll have different segments on throughout our podcast through the future of the movies you probably liked younger, and there were ulterior underlying motives and, you know, gay themes to them. So we're really excited about it. Oh my god, I think we just need to be like eating hot dogs or popsicles right now. Just, you know, just the phallic shapes right here.
Any excuse you can get.
I know, right? I just love it. I love it. And it's the fair season too, so corny dogs everywhere.
Yep.
I'm going.
Corny dogs?
Corny dogs.
I thought they're corn dogs.
Is it corny dogs or corn dogs?
It's corn dogs.
Oh.
I always heard it referred to as corn dogs.
Corny dogs.
Get your country on, man.
Corny dogs.
There's also a saying, so you know what foods are shaped like dicks? The best kinds.
The best kinds. This is a man who has experience. I seen them.
Been around the block a few times.
Yes, yes. Well, good. Well, we're not going to start with our homoeroticness yet, but we're going to go straight into John Carpenter's movies. He has done a lot. He has done everything from like Starman to Big Trouble in Little China to They Live, Halloween. He's responsible for some really cool stuff. He worked with Kurt Russell a lot. He's awesome. So I'll turn to Atterbury. What are some of what when you think John Carpenter, what sticks out to you and why?
The first one that always comes to mind is The Thing.
The Thing.
Mm-hmm. That's always been my favorite.
Which was
Carpenter.
A remake. He did a remake of like the 1930s movie, The Thing.
Exactly. But his version to me was I think probably my favorite of his movies.
Why?
It's one of the few that is actually scary, I think.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I like a lot of his movies, but frequently I don't really find them scary. I think they're often more campy than frightening. But
okay.
The Thing, his version of The Thing still holds up to me. There's a lot about that, the isolation, the body horror, stuff like that. It's very creepy.
I like it. It was like a movie with a bunch of dudes in like Antarctica, and they literally just... They had nowhere to go, and this thing happened.
Yeah, and
what
just,
do you do?
They are stuck with it.
And it's one of those movies, like one of those rare movies with Wilford Brimley in it.
That's why I like it.
Diabetes. He's in that movie, and he's excellent in it.
And Kurt Russell's beard is
kingly in that movie. Absolutely, he is really. It is a really good movie, and like the effects of that, and like the spider head when the head separates from the body and the spider legs crawl out of it. And
oh,
walks.
Yeah.
That's still
or when the dog
me.
Is transforming.
Oh,
creepy.
Those poor dogs.
I know. Oh. You know, I'm going to go ahead and say right now that I really don't think Carpenter is a producer of many good movies. He makes a lot of movies. But
he doesn't, though.
In my opinion, or he's made a lot. In my opinion, there's a small percentage of them that are actually really good movies.
See, I disagree. I think
The Thing is great.
Okay, you like The Thing.
I do.
You're a thing. Jeremy, what about you, sir? What sticks out?
Man, it's, you know, when you go through the list, it's hard to not just go straight to Big Trouble in Little China.
That is like one of the classics, like one of the great classics. It's like, it was like his Western, his modern day Western. It is like very Western-esque, and I love it. And
you guys like that movie?
Good God, yes. How do you, you're... an idiot.
He was so upset by that. That was all he had. Just,
you're up. Oh, I hate you.
Stupid.
How do you not? That movie is amazing because I'm sure Jeremy shares the same sentiment, but it's a movie where Kurt Russell is like the main protagonist. However, he does nothing to further along the movie. He's not responsible for any of the good stuff. It's always his pals that do it.
Mm.
He always gets knocked out by himself or something like that, right?
Very Indiana Jones of him.
Very much so. So you like it. So what about Big Trouble do you really love?
You know, there's so much in what it reminds me of is it's one of those movies that has a huge effect on, it sounds like funny, but like pop culture. It's like you see the dude with the lightning shooting out of his hands, that shows up in Mortal Kombat as one of the most famous characters ever. Just like how you had Predator, where you have that, like, how the Predator kind of turns invisible and it, you know, becomes active camo and Halo and has a huge, you know, just kind of long running, you know, kind of effect on gaming and things just outside of the sphere of that movie, you know?
Yeah. I just love it. Josie, what about you? John Carpenter movies?
My exposure to John Carpenter movies is minimal, but I've seen The Thing, and I've also seen the remake. I've seen bits and pieces of Escape from L.A.
Okay.
And I think I've seen a Halloween movie with you one time.
The Halloween one, the very original one.
Well, no, it was a remake.
That's the Rob Zombie one.
We went to go see it in the movie theater, and all I remember was this girl that was, like, swimming under, like, the thing in the lake.
Oh, that's Friday the 13th.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're thinking of the Friday the 13th remake.
Oh, shit.
Oh, we're getting off base here.
Well, you know what? That's how, what I think of the John Carpenter movies.
Oh, John Carpenter. So John Carpenter, he did In the Mouth of Madness, which was a scary movie with Sam Neill.
That's right.
It was about on the best-selling books, and the books became, like, true life.
And he couldn't get out of the town?
That was a damn scary movie.
I think it was an okay movie, but it wasn't really scary. I watched that not that long ago.
Dude, that movie still scares me.
Really?
Like driving down like the road at night and like it like just everything disappearing and like the dude on a tricycle or bicycle driving by. Oh,
that's very scary stuff.
He also did, interestingly enough,
I'm just enjoying like the generation gap that goes around the table.
Yeah. That's good. He also did, which you probably don't know, The Memoirs of the Invisible Man with Chevy Chase. Do you remember that?
I have not seen
from
that
from the
one.
Very early 90s.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
He did that one. He did Prince of Darkness, Big Trouble, Little China, Starman. Starman's an excellent film. No?
Mm-hmm.
Never saw Starman?
Mm-mm.
He did The Thing, of course. They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper with the sunglasses.
And you know what's funny is a lot of what is considered classic about Rowdy Roddy Piper came from that movie.
Yeah, absolutely. He had like one of the
most famous lines.
Yeah, do you remember that line?
Yeah.
What is it?
I'll let you do it.
No, I'll let you do it.
Jeremy doesn't remember it.
I've come here.
That's right.
To
kick ass and chew bubble gum,
and I'm
all out of bubble gum.
Have y'all never seen?
I have not seen that one.
Okay, so it's an interesting story where these certain sunglasses that he finds that really, when you put on the sunglasses, you see who's an actually like scary alien, and these scary aliens are living among us as like humans. And when he puts it on, not only does he see who the aliens are, he sees like all the things on TV and the billboards that say like obey or like eat, remember to eat for the aliens because they're going to take over and kill everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool, but
reveals like their programming of the human race where it's like,
gotcha.
Where it'll show like, you know, it'll be like a billboard of like an attractive woman, you know, smoking a cigarette, but then you put it on the glasses and you look at it and it just says sex.
So it shows the subliminal messaging.
Oh, yeah. And like a lot of
it reveals everything for what it actually is in our society.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and these aliens are, a lot of the aliens are prominent figures like politicians and heads of companies.
Right.
And so Roddy Piper is kind of like a drifter. He works construction and he finds this out and he befriends somebody in this like commune he's in, Keith David, who's also in The Thing. He's the black guy. Well, there's a scene, a very famous scene in They Live, a fight between these two guys where it's over a pair of these pair of sunglasses. Well, it's a like real-time fight scene that lasts like 12 minutes. South Park recreated that in an episode verbatim with the two crippled kids. It was awesome.
I think I've seen that episode.
But if you've seen They Live is really, really good. He did Assault on Precinct 13. The Fog, which was a zombie movie, Halloween, and John Carpenter's Mars thing.
The Ghosts of Mars?
The Ghosts of Mars. Ugh. That was him. And he did The Ward, which came out in the early 2000s, but he hasn't made anything since, unfortunately. But
I thought there was some vampire movies on that list.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there is.
I'm pretty sure he's got one that he did with Bon Jovi.
Yes.
Lose you some points.
Vampire. What was that called?
It was just called Vampires, and there's Vampires, the something something.
Yeah, and John Bon Jovi was definitely in that.
Yeah.
So, two or three bad movies out of a string
two
of
or three.
Awesome movies.
Like, I was like, I'm going to watch this Bon Jovi Vampire Hunter movie just because Blaze of Glory, And I literally made it through about 8 minutes of that movie, and then I was like, fucking can't do this.
I watched those movies. I remember seeing those when they were new. And I thought they were okay at the time. But they have not held up very well at all.
They Live holds up. So does Escape from New York, which is an awesome one with Isaac Hayes and Richard Dean Stanton. Oh, my God. He's made so many good movies. Escape from L.A. is the sequel, and Bruce Campbell does star in that. Well, not star. He's in a cameo appearance. But he is in a John Carpenter movie. Also, John Carpenter pretty much scores all of his own movies. Like, iconic synth scores.
That's John Carpenter. I like that he does that. It's part of the vision, I think. Anytime you've got a movie creator that has their hands in more aspects of the film, as long as they're not shitty, it can be really good.
No, I think...
Unless you're George Lucas.
I don't have a bad thing to say about any John Carpenter movie. I love them all. I think they just bring a certain nostalgia from, like, the 70s and 80s. And I think he really... Like, Halloween... It's just so simple. It's like, it was so scary just having the figure appear behind the bushes and look at you, and that was it. I still watch that every Halloween.
Halloween's absolutely a classic, but I don't really find it scary. I never found Halloween scary.
What about The Fog?
The Fog I don't like.
No?
It's okay.
It's okay?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. I like that.
But I'm an idiot, so what can I say?
You are an idiot. A cinematic idiot, sir. And I feel sorry for you.
It's not as good as Code of Honor. Let's just say that.
That was your favorite movie of the year.
Yeah.
A flock of Steven Seagals over there. And then Big Trouble. There's something about Big Trouble that just, I think, is like his biggest cultural phenomenon. Like, there's comic books about it now. Like, the sequel to it. And, like, they're remaking it with The Rock. And there's just so many people who want to...
Even bigger than Halloween, Michael Myers is pretty gigantic. That's a huge cultural influence, and the score for that movie especially.
Yes, it is, but as of right now, more people want to be like more like Jack Burton than they do want to be like Mike Myers.
See, I feel like more people know who Mike Myers is than who Jack Burton is.
Well, I agree with that.
Well, there's been 10 movies of Halloween. I don't know. I would rather watch Big Trouble in Little China.
I'd rather watch Big Trouble, too, but I think the fact that you have 10 movies gives you more cultural significance.
You think so?
Yeah.
It's a good debate. What do you think, Josie? Do you ever see Big Trouble in Little China or Escape from New York? No? We have to do a marathon for you of all these John Carpenter movies.
I don't want to.
You don't want to.
Why?
Because I didn't really like The Thing.
She has better things to do.
I do. Well, I mean, The Thing wasn't even that scary. Like, you say that it's scary. I get scared very easily, and The Thing did not
scare me. But you like jump scares are what do it for you.
Well,
that's not anything always. Come on.
Not always.
Come on.
I promise you will like Big Trouble in Little China. It is, like, really funny.
It's on Netflix, right?
It might be.
It's on Netflix. Last time I checked, anyways.
I'll try it.
We'll check it out.
And In the Mouth of Madness is damn good. That was, I think, my last real favorite of his. I really liked it. All right, moving on. Let's go to horror movie video games.
Horror video games.
Horror video games. I wrote something down that really scared me, but what's the obvious one in all your minds when you think of horror video games?
Resident Evil is the first cut that comes to mind, yeah. I think.
You think that really, like, really changed the game of, like, horror video games?
Absolutely. I think the first true horror theme video game, maybe Castlevania, the original.
Alucard.
Yeah. But I think that Resident Evil was the first game to actually make them scary.
Okay.
Where you do have a sense of
dread. Well, Castlevania was a side-scrolling, just killing weird
dogs. Yeah, it was based on horror themes, but it was not actually inducing of scares.
Right.
So I think that Resident Evil was the first game that I can remember playing and playing with friends and stuff like that. That it was actually the kind of thing where you'd all play in the dark.
Well, because they had that scared out every time you go into a door, it would cut to the thing of the thing opening the door, and you never knew what was going to happen.
And just you'd turn a corner, and boom, there'd be a zombie in your face, and suddenly you're just shitting your pants and backing up and everything.
Yeah. So
that kind of thing, and it was the first time they started introducing jump scares in video games, too, where you'd be walking down a hallway and glass would just shatter.
Yeah. No, I definitely remember that. What about you? Do you ever play the Resident Evil games, Jeremy?
Yeah, I played one of the first ones, either the first or the second one, and I just I didn't care for it.
Never got into it?
Never got into it. I mean, it was like, was it a house and there were like giant spiders and then like these dogs that were skinned that were running around and the game just didn't play very good. And so I never liked them and I never really went back. Never got into them.
What about you, Josie?
Probably for me, it's Dead Space.
Dead Space. So I have Dead Space written down on my list.
And yeah, me too.
Dead Space was very much like Aliens.
I think you're the one that introduced me to
Real Dead Space. Yeah. That game was so scary.
Yeah,
and
you
so
let me
much
borrow
fun.
It. I think.
Yeah.
That game was damn good.
It was
so damn good.
Like even things in the background, like when you're just walking through something, you see like something happening. You're like, oh god, something just got loose.
Oh yeah, and the second one was great too.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And they just did such a good job with environment and shadow and just sound and movement, you know, because you'd be walking down a hallway and turn a corner and there'd be like a small shadow behind you and you couldn't tell if it was your own shadow or something else, and they did an awesome job of keeping you just totally off balance.
Because it's been a while since I played Dead Space, but if I remember, it was kind of like a mix between Aliens and like Event Horizon.
It was very much like Event Horizon.
Yeah, like where they had like something happened with a ship and they go in to inspect it.
Yeah.
That was like really freaky.
Oh yeah. There was some seriously freaky stuff in that game.
It was like hell in space. I love it. That makes me want to go play it right now, just thinking about it, because I was like, oh man, this game is so good.
Maybe we'll get lucky and they'll put out a remaster of those. That would be good.
Ooh, that would be good.
That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. I wonder if they're doing a Dead Space 3.
Well, there was a Dead Space 3.
Oh wait, so I have not played the Dead Space
3. It wasn't very good.
Don't worry about it.
So what makes the first two great is you're on this ship and it's isolated.
And you're in an enclosed space.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to really run
but
or hide.
But the third one, you're on a planet.
Yeah.
And it's like snowing and stuff. And the story is not as good. And the voice acting for like a lot of the other characters you interact with is the writing is really bad and the voice acting is really rough.
Yeah, if you have access to Dead Space or if you can get it, just seriously play it. It is really scary and really atmospheric. Going back to Resident Evil, I remember playing the Resident Evil games, but it wasn't until the Wii where they did like the easier aiming and gunplay in that game that I really took on like a whole thing. And then I played Resident Evil 5, and it was really good.
I remember playing Resident Evil 5 with you, actually.
Yeah. And like those zombies, they evolved into like talking to each other and like conspiring against you, and that was really cool.
That was, and you know, just recently they put out Resident Evil Origins for Xbox One, which is the remastered of the original and Resident Evil Zero, I think.
Yeah,
and I just played that not long ago, and it's awesome. They did a fantastic job remastering that game.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. That's why I love the Resident Evil game. So, what other video games of the horror variety do y'all love and would recommend to our listeners?
I've got a list here.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a list. What's your list, Josie?
So, I think P.T. I've never played it, but...
What is P.T.?
I don't actually know, but here's the thing.
The show is very mediocre.
Yeah.
With mediocre guests.
So I know it's good because I watched just gameplay of it, just 5 minutes of it, and like I was so scared. Like the room I was in, it was dark, and just watching it, I got scared. And
is it like
so it's not the game that's scary,
it
was the trailer. It was a scary trailer.
It wasn't a trailer, it was just someone gameplay playing
footage.
The game.
So
yeah.
A scary YouTube video.
Yeah.
Okay.
P.T.
P.T.
Is that stand for something, or is the game just called P.T.? You can look it up.
It's just called P.T.
P.T. Okay. I've never heard of that.
And another one, I mean, I would consider this game... It's got horror elements to it. BioShock, the first one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The second and third one, not so much, but definitely the first
one. The first one was very creepy.
It was very eerie, so...
Absolutely.
And it's one of my
splicers.
Favorite games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the splicers were awesome.
What about Last of Us? Isn't that one you played?
Oh, yeah, that scared the shit out of me.
The Last of Us, that opening scene of Last of Us is just so hardcore good. Like,
I have not played or seen that one, but I know
you
enjoyed it.
So, that game is intense.
Yeah, it's so good. Like, the opening 20 minutes where you, like, it... You get, it's so good.
I've never cried about a game and been scared about a game In the same game. Yeah, last
not since Lego Lord of the Rings.
Dang good.
Yeah, the clickers in that game were just amazing.
Anytime he makes that clicker sound, I lose it. I can't. I just can't even.
She can't even. She I gets full white even. Girl.
Yeah.
Full white girl. Pumpkin
spice! Oh my God! Can't even with this pumpkin spice.
All right, what about you, sir?
For me, there is... if you want to kind of go... kind of classic monsters in the games, you know, Doom is a good one, even though it's not, the new ones weren't really scary, but the, you know, some of the earlier ones were, but.
Well, definitely horror theme. Yeah. Because
they would do a good job of you'd be walking through a dark room and not really knowing, all you would hear is just a monster sound. You know, and then, but then you don't know how many are in there or what's going on, but one of my all-time favorites actually is the Darkness video games.
Oh, I played the Darkness.
Were based
yeah.
on the comics, and those games were so good.
We might have played that together. I remember I had that game, and I might still have all the achievements from it. But yeah, that was a fun game.
Yeah, they made one and two, and I just really want a third one so bad.
That was a good one. All right, any others?
That's probably the tops of my list because I had Dead Space on there and BioShock also.
All right, that's good. Mr. Atterbury, what scared you out of your jimmies?
I know one we all enjoyed was Left 4 Dead.
I have that on my list, too. Left 4 Dead. So, they have not remastered that yet, but you can download it on Xbox One.
Right.
And I did Left 4 Dead 2.
Yep. They have Left 4 Dead 1 on there also.
Yeah, but Left 4 Dead 2 is fun.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, glitchy. Like, you're playing on that higher-end system. It's just, like, kind of choppy here and there. But, oh, man, how fun is that game still?
When those games came out, they were just... I mean, Valve, you know, Valve's got another game on my list, actually, the original Half-Life.
Oh.
I think the original Half-Life was very scary in
When's
some
Half-Life
ways.
3 coming out?
I'm ready for
Never.
It.
Never.
The Half-Life, the original one, was a lot like Dead Space.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of Dead Space before Dead Space.
But Left 4 Dead, man. So Left 4 Dead, if you don't know, is a zombie game, but instead of, like... zombies creeping around corners. This is like literally thousands of zombies running at full speed all the time at you.
It was like 28 Days Later. That
yeah,
same kind of zombie.
But like tons of them at all times. And like there were several different types of zombies. There was like one called a boomer, which was like a giant 800-pound zombie who threw up on you.
Mm-hmm.
That one, if it threw up on you, it would attract all the rest of the horde.
Yep.
And the sounds that this boomer would make that you would know he was around was like...
which is still the sound Brian makes anytime he's grossed out by something.
Or I've eaten too much.
Hence the name.
Hence the name. And then, there was one that had a long tongue, but
that
you
that
were...
was the smoker.
The smoker was really good. That one.
You could hear the coughing sound. That like,
and then there was, like, the really... the big rocky... Oh, what was that? Kind of, the one that, like, took forever to kill.
The tank?
Like, tank. The tank. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Well,
then you had the jockey that would
so
jump on top of you.
That's what I was...
just that
was
jockey. Yeah.
But, yeah, you were in, like, these, like, really cool, realistic settings, like, in, like, New Orleans or by a plane, and you'd have to... get to these places and you had guns or you had like a guitar to swing at him or an axe or a bat.
The circus level was so much fun.
Oh,
the circus level was really scary.
Had, like,
because
zombie clowns are running at you. Oh, so
yeah, you
good.
Were in an amusement park and there was like a roller coaster one. We had to go up a roller coaster. There was one we had to go in like the Tunnel of Love. And, like, it was like really scary.
Those games were fantastic. So I think of those pretty quickly when I think of horror games.
I don't
know
a third one of that.
Yeah.
I know. They
it's
made,
Valve.
They made two. A year after they released two, a year after they released one,
and it's been
and
like
you can't ever
10
make
years
one.
Since then.
Yeah,
Valve hasn't released shit that everybody wants.
Unfortunately, because they were so good for a while.
And at E3, we all thought they were going to like Left 4 Dead 3, Half-Life 3.
Yeah.
You're like, nope,
nothing.
It sucks.
So yeah, so that one is one that I think of having a lot of fun with. Another one that I really enjoyed was Alan Wake.
That's on my list too.
Yeah, Alan Wake was fantastic. It was a lot. It was almost like that Mouth of Madness movie.
Oh, in the Mouth of Madness,
where you're taking an author who's writing horror novels and they're coming to life,
mm-hmm.
and so it had that fun vibe to it, and it was just really like. It reminded me of a lot of Dean Koontz horror novels as well. It really felt like a horror book that you were playing through.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. And another one that I've enjoyed not that long ago is Outlast.
Okay. Outlast.
Yeah. Outlast.
I don't know what that is.
Outlast is a relatively new horror game for Xbox One. And maybe PlayStation 4 as well. I'm not sure. you are a journalist who has to go into an insane asylum to kind of check on weird things that are going on. You don't have weapons. You have a video camera that has night vision, and you basically just have to live through it. But you don't. You have no offensive capabilities.
Wow.
So it's just hiding and stuff like that. But there are some fantastically scary things in that game. It's one of those games where I like to just sit down, lights off, play it by myself, but I can only handle it for small pieces of time because it's just a little too stressful.
Okay.
Like 45 minutes and I'm about, I need a break. Because they do such a fantastic job of creating the sense of dread.
Okay.
Because you are helpless. It's not like you can pull out your gun and shoot their faces off. You know, you just have to be wondering what's around the corner and then run away if it's something scary. So,
all right.
It's very cool. And that game, I tried to get Josie to play that game, and she couldn't hang.
I played it for like 20 minutes, and I got through, what, like 0.25% of the game?
Until you got killed, and then you were done.
Like, he kind of prefaced me before playing it, like, that it's scary as shit.
Yeah.
And so I was playing it, just like, spazzing at everything. Just, oh my god, Shadow. Oh my god, who was that? Just like,
did you
every
have
2 seconds. Nightmares? I don't know, did I have nightmares?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
All right.
But well, so you just told me they're announcing the second one now. They've got a demo you can play, right?
Yeah, I tagged you in that.
Yeah, so.
Sweet.
It's pretty good stuff. And the last one I can think of is, so we talked about Castlevania briefly. The original few games were not so scary, but they actually put out a game called a classic, Symphony of the Night, Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Okay.
And that was for PlayStation 1, the original PlayStation, and it was... I remember playing that game and being frightened more than anything by the score. Because it was one of those games that just had a fantastic gothic score to it. Where it's like, you know, choral kind of things. And just really cool.
That's cool.
So it was also introduced some elements of RPG and had voice acting and all of that. So it was a really fun game.
All right. So you recommend those. You've gone through all some of the ones I did. I mentioned Dead Space, Resident Evil. I'm going to say Silent Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Atmospherics of Silent Hill were always really cool.
Yeah. Especially 2.
Yeah, Silent Hill 2 was damn good.
Yeah.
Eternal Darkness is my favorite, I think, video game ever. And it was for GameCube only that. And, man, that game literally freaked me out. Like, not only do you have, like, a health meter, but you also have a sanity meter. And if your sanity meter went down, the game would turn off and then turn back on. Your character would, like, grow a giant head and then explode. Or it, like, your game would go to the blue screen and start deleting. And then it would, like, scream, wah! And then you'd be back to normal. Like, then bugs would start crawling on the screen. It was really cool. But, oh, man, that game is so good. Somebody optioned the rights to that a long time ago, but they've never made anything with that.
Oh, bummer.
Eternal Darkness. If you have a Wii or a GameCube, seriously get that game.
Is it on Wii, too?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely not on Wii, but I don't know if, like, one of the download things you can do on
gotcha,
it.
Gotcha, the
store. But GameCube, man, Eternal Darkness. Another one I'll just have to mention, the original Nintendo. For some reason, I love the original Friday the 13th video game for the original Nintendo.
Really?
I do. Everybody
hates
it.
One of the worst games ever.
Yeah, I love it. And then another one, which you can go onto your mobile device right now, your iPhone or your iPad or your Galaxy, there is a video game for free called Do Not Believe His Lies. It is a puzzle type of game, but it is actually pretty scary. Give it a shot. It's called Do Not Believe His Lies. I promise I won't let you down with that. It is really good. Those are the horror video games. Go check those out. I really want to play Dead Space right now, like hardcore.
Just go get the new Resident Evil remaster. It's on Xbox One and it's badass.
I might have to do that. Which brings us to our main event, as you will, our steel cage, sweaty, oily match right now. Homoeroticism in action movies. Oh, my God.
I know you're so excited about this.
Your tongue's hanging out of your mouth. You're just ready. You're ready, sir. All right, so let me... I've got notes here.
Notes and notes and notes.
So if you grew up like we did, I mean... Jeremy grew up in the 50s, but we're in the 80s. It was the
Cold War.
I just grew up first.
I just grew up first.
Out of all people.
Out of all people. It was there, sir. We all really like these these action movies from our childhood that starred like Jean-Claude Van Damme and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone. We really liked them. They all had pretty high death counts. There was blood. There was cursing. It was fun. When you revisit these things, they don't play out like we remember.
A lot of them
have very, very strong homoerotic tendencies and underlying tones. I'm going to rock Atterbury's world today. I've been looking forward to it all week.
As we said before the show started, I'm just a believer that you see what you look for. You know, if you're looking for it, you're going to find it.
We need to watch these. Go back and watch the movies we're going to mention and tell me if I'm wrong or right. I know I'm right.
I'm sure you're right about a few of them.
All right. So, I just should I start, or do y'all want to start? What are we going to
do? You steer the ship, my friend. I know you're chomping at the bit.
Chomping at the bits. Okay. So what do we start off with first? I don't want to start off with like the easy ones, but we'll start out. I mean, they're all easy.
All right, take some of the ones that I might not be expecting. Some of the ones that are going to surprise me.
Those some curveballs.
Yeah.
God. Oh, I didn't put any curveballs on here. Did anybody remember The Beastmaster with Mark Singer?
Yes.
Yeah. That movie is like tons of it everywhere.
Spreading his arms as wide as they can go.
Yes, The Beastmaster with Mark Singer, if you don't remember this. This movie was literally an oiled up dude in just a leather loincloth. Leather underoos. And he just, that's what he does. That's the whole movie. Nothing happens. It's him running on rocks for
talking to animals.
He's talking to animals. He also, oh God damn, this movie. There's a scene in the, well, first off, in the middle of the movie, what's his name? The guy from Roots. Not Jordy, but the older one. He was also in Coming to America. John Amos or something like that.
Okay.
He shows up in the middle of The Beastmaster, and he has like a little kid with him. Weird.
What's weird about that?
They were doing something with that kid.
I don't know.
But they talk to movies, they're all oiled up, and at the end of the movie, the Beastmaster ends up in a tiara, like a princess crown.
So just because he's wearing a tiara and he's oiled up, it's homoerotic?
Well, if you go back and watch the movie with Mark Singer jumping around with his hair flowing around, oiled up.
Just because he's a handsome, pretty guy doesn't mean it's homoerotic.
I think that's homoerotic. No?
I don't know. You tell me. This is your list.
I think that's The Beastmaster. Do you agree with me, Jeremy?
I don't know if, you know, him being a pretty attractive dude automatically makes it homoerotic.
But he's oiled up in a leather underwear thong.
Maybe he's just sweaty.
Yeah.
And that there were two ferrets that he fucked around with.
He didn't fuck around. You mean he hung out with them?
They couldn't get gerbils, so they got ferrets.
What's homoerotic about ferrets?
Just a oiled up dude with ferrets running around in the wilderness.
I think you got some insecurity issues.
I don't
friend.
Have insecurities.
Threatened by the man and his ferrets.
I own the Beastmaster. I do. All right. If you don't want to talk about that, do you want to talk about Predator, your favorite movie?
Oh, God. Okay. Sure. Let's hear it.
So, what do you think that's not gay about Predator?
Everything. It's the most butch movie perhaps ever made.
So, I disagree. Although, I do think Predator is an awesome movie. Like, there's a nuclear explosion, which is badass. There's a lot of deaths. A lot of people from that movie went on to be, like, political people in real life, which is really funny.
Carl Weathers.
He became, like, mayor of Alabama or something like that. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Governor Jesse Ventura, which I'll get to in a second.
What are you getting at with this?
Saying politicians are homoerotic.
So
that may be the case. But.
So the first scene of the movie is Arnold Schwarzenegger getting out of a helicopter, and he sees Carl Weathers named Dutch, and his first line is like,
"No, Schwarzenegger's character is named Dutch."
Oh, yeah, it's Dutch. What is Carl Weathers' name?
Not Dutch.
Yeah, not Dutch. Okay. Not Dutch. But okay, then Carl Weathers goes like his first thing, looking good, Dutch. Like they haven't fucked in a while. And then
No.
looking good, Dutch.
Like, so? You can't say another guy's looking good without having fucked a guy.
And then they have sex in front of the army guys. Like they grab each other's arms.
In perhaps the most masculine handshake ever recorded on film.
I don't know if it's masculine. I mean they are going at it. That's because they're having sex.
No, they are two alpha males.
What makes it not masculine?
What do you mean what makes it not masculine? They are literally looking each other's eyes.
No. Okay, like, if I say what makes it not masculine and you respond with, what do you mean it makes it not masculine?
The burden of proof lies on the accuser, yeah. My friend.
Arnold Schwarzenegger has a giant cigar in his mouth, which is
what masculine?
Color? Brown.
Cigars are not homoerotic.
Certain therapists would say sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. Sometimes it's his friend's dick.
My opinion, those therapists are the ones that have some issues they need to work out. Just because you're putting something in your mouth that's phallic does not mean you want to suck a dick.
That is exactly what is happening in that first scene. It's like a 45-second handshake. Who does that?
It's like a 10-second handshake.
It's a strength test.
And it is.
A strength test? It is not a strength test.
It's alpha male going on right there.
No, yeah. That is them having a relationship before they saw each other again.
Oh, my God. You are so full of shit.
I am not full of shit. Read it. Watch it again.
Watch it, and you'll see that you've got two guys that are awesomely beefy, and that they're just shaking hands and trying to show the other one that they're stronger than the other dude. Like, hey, you're looking bad for
no,
for
you're, Kemba, you're looking good, Dutch. Oh, my God. They're having sex.
Oh.
Let's move forward a little later in the movie when Jesse Ventura...
out of here.
When Jesse Ventura... asks all of his mates, like, hey, you want to try some of this tobacco that he's chewing? And they all say no. And then he calls them all fags. And then he refers to himself as a sexual tyrannosaurus.
That's one of the greatest lines ever.
They could all be like
God
him.
Goddamn sexual tyrannosaurus.
And they could all be like him in sex.
What?
Like, he offers them, and then he calls them all fags.
Yeah, because in his mind, what he's doing is masculine.
No, it's not.
I think you missed the point of the whole movie.
I did not miss the point of the whole movie of Predator.
Did we watch the same film?
We did.
I feel like you saw the gay parody of it.
I did not. This is Predator. All right. Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
Okay, I'll agree with you on that one.
You will agree with me? Yeah. Okay, that is very... I mean, that had homoerotics.
Major.
The teacher in that movie goes to a gay club, and he's like the only person in cinema history to die by towel whippings in the shower. If you don't believe me, go watch that movie.
I can't argue with that.
And the main guy in that movie, who's haunted by Freddy, is gay. And there's like a music scene in it, like a music video scene in it, with him dancing in his room. And literally a guy comes outside of this dude. And Freddy comes out of this guy, like outside of his body. That is, yes, it's like the man inside me. Tobias Fünke. It is literally that thing. Okay. Nightmare on Elm Street 2. It's still a good movie, and I think that's some of the most evil Freddy has been, but it is a very homoerotic movie.
Okay.
All right. You want to go to Commando?
Sure.
Because this is on a level which you can't even begin to imagine.
There's only one aspect of that movie that I will give... that I will agree with you on.
Okay, so the first time we see Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's with his young daughter, played by young Alyssa Milano.
Correct.
And what is happening?
The first time when he's carrying the log around?
He's carrying a giant log. He's greased up. There's a saxophone solo going on in the background. I mean, that's...
It's the 80s.
That is like...
There's a saxophone going
out
for everybody.
That is Bear America right there. That is like the poster for a bear in the gay community.
What? Are you kidding me? So you're saying every lumberjack in history was homoerotic?
That, well, greased up like that with a log on one shoulder.
He was sweaty.
And then he's
if
reading,
you were cutting
like,
down trees in the forest, you're going to be sweaty.
Yes.
And then he's reading Teen Beat right after that and feeding a deer out of
his
hands.
He was reading Teen Beat?
Yeah.
Do you mean looking at his daughter's one going, I don't get this?
No, he didn't get it. He said something that was really excellent to the Teen Beat. It was amazing, but it was very homoerotic.
Okay.
All right. So... the other portion of that movie, well, there is a scene where when his commander comes to his house in the beginning of the movie and tries to get him to go on this last mission, the guy sneaks a gun up on him, you know, from behind, and he says, "Silent and smooth, just like you always like it."
Talking about killing other people.
Dude, that is some gay shit right there. Coming up behind a dude with a hard dick and like silent and smooth, just like you like it. Those are actual words in the movie, whispered into the ear from behind. Are you... am I getting through to anybody here?
I might agree with you on that part. I mean, I've never seen this movie. I'm just going based on what you're telling me.
Okay, he's painting a very unfair picture.
I am not.
I have it right over there.
Is it on Netflix?
I own the Blu-ray right there.
Is it on Netflix?
No, I don't think so.
Can we borrow it?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's what it was. In Tiger Beat, he's talking about Boy George. Still, same thing. Boy George doesn't get it. All right.
So because he does not like Boy George?
No, he likes Boy. He wants to know more. I'm telling you, it's a thing. So,
yeah, I don't think that's how it went down.
Just saying. All right, so
this is a very selective viewpoint.
The main villain in Commando.
Okay,
is
here we
named
go.
Bennett.
All right, this is where I'm going to agree with you. And his Right Said Fred mesh shirt.
Okay, so he doesn't only own. So this character Bennett has a flat top haircut, a handlebar mustache, fingerless gloves.
He's basically the comp from the YMCA band.
Yeah, he has a dog chain choker. He has a giant belt. He has a sleeveless shirt, chainmail vest, and leather pants.
He's the picture. He's like Rob Halford.
He's like...
That's perfect, actually.
You could write a thesis on this. On how this was like a movement in culture.
I agree with you on that one.
Amazing that character is. That alone for that. There are like 200 deaths in the movie, all pretty much done by Arnold. But
what does that have to do with it?
Nothing. I think that I like Commando, okay. But I think it's very homoerotic.
What do the deaths have to do with the homoeroticism, though?
I just, well, can a homoerotic movie have a lot of death in it?
Well, yeah, but you brought it up like it was supporting your theory.
No. It's like, okay. There's a lot of deaths in it. I like it.
That's good.
I'm not saying I don't. The one movie on here I do not like. All the rest of these movies I do like.
I totally agree with you on Bennett's character. Bennett is Rob Halford.
But you do not think that the dialogue or any of the, like the sweaty dudes doing this? What?
You're insinuating that a man that's working hard enough to work up a sweat is homoerotic. Is being homoerotic.
It's oiled up with your shirt off the whole movie.
When you look like Schwarzenegger, you can oil yourself up as much as you want. Because they're trying to show off the fact that when you oil your body, you're going to be glistening more. You're going to show off the definition in your muscles. Therefore, every bodybuilder in the world has done this. Ever. So there's a point to it. It's to basically like make more visual the definition in your body.
All right, what about Over the Top?
Over the Top, absolutely.
Over the Top,
I'll give you that.
Is a Sylvester Stallone movie, which was all about arm wrestling. All about arm wrestling, where just big, sweaty truck driver dudes at rest stops would
get enemies tonight on the show, man. You already got the lumberjacks. You already got the truck drivers now.
A bunch of sweaty, greased-up truck drivers just... have sex with each other. That is basically what this movie is.
Man, I want to watch these movies through your eyeballs.
There is one woman in the movie Over the Top, and she dies early on, just leaving a bunch of dudes. Not to mention, in like the final arm wrestling bout, when they can't like get the arm wrestling bout to go, they tie him up with a leather strap. That's some really homoerotic stuff. Not to mention the whole pedophilia aspect of, like, not that they're one and the same, but there is a pedophilia aspect to Over the Top as well.
I missed that part.
So Sylvester Stallone's kid always is sleeping, wants to sleep with Sylvester Stallone in his little truck. And what is his kid's name? Michael Hawk. That's short for Mike Hawk.
telling you.
Oh my God.
Read between the lines.
You are grasping.
Oh. Grasping? I am not.
Yeah, you are.
We gotta watch this.
This is just as bad as the Mace Windu theory.
Yes. Oh, God.
No, the Mace Windu theory is still worse, but this is pretty bad.
It's not.
It's a close second. Watch it.
So, because the dude's kid wants to sleep in the truck with him, that's pedophilia.
But other truckers, it's a thing.
Is it?
What?
How do you know it's a thing?
Watch the movie. It's how it's made. It's like, it's so awkward.
Maybe
it's
you're
not
awkward.
Genuine. I'm not making this awkward. This is what happens in the movie.
Okay. All right. What else you got in that list, big
the
guy?
The last one, Top Gun.
Oh, I think we can all agree on that.
Most homoerotic, we all know that it's not about Kelly McGillis and Tom Cruise getting together. And not about planes.
It's about volleyball. Yeah.
It's about Tom Cruise coming out of the closet and being with Goose forever. Right?
Sure.
You don't believe me.
No, I mean, I know the
this
movie.
This is the one movie I don't like. I think it's a very overrated movie.
Oh, yeah,
very
absolutely.
Bad movie. But don't you agree with me?
I agree that it does have homoerotic undertones. I don't know if the whole story is all about him coming out to be with Goose.
It is, though.
Okay, explain.
Okay, so Tom Cruise just wants to shower with Goose in the whole movie. It's basically all of this dialogue. Gotta hit the showers, guys. Let's go to the showers. Never by himself, just with other dudes.
Well, so you've pissed off the truckers, you've pissed off the lumberjacks, and the military.
Well, and then the head of the military there, he's what is his one line in the whole movie is, I want some butts in here. I want some butts in here. Remember that? Yes, and in the volleyball scene, beautiful Val Kilmer and Tom Cruise and everybody is playing...
Not Fat Val.
Not Fat Val and the Kilmers. But yeah, they're all playing volleyball. They're all greased up. They're all slapping each other and just...
So volleyball.
Kissing. And what's the song that's playing in the background? Playing with the Boys. That's the song title. Good God, man. That scene alone. But what really happens in Top Gun, right? Tom Cruise and Goose are together. They're in love.
But there's each other's wingman.
They are
what
in
the
love.
What are you
they,
talking
and they
about?
They have sex, but we don't see it.
Oh, God.
And then Kelly McGillis and her blonde hair come into the picture, and Tom Cruise wants nothing to do with her at all.
What are you talking about?
Until she dresses up as a dude, and he goes and fucks her. And then literally, when she lets her hair down... He runs away and cries because he realized that he had sex with not Goose.
I think that he probably noticed that beforehand.
I don't think so.
Okay.
That happened in the movie.
Okay.
Whatever.
You don't believe me?
My eyes are going to stay rolled up in my head forever after this episode.
Watch the movies again. Watch them again.
I've watched Commando and Predator plenty of times.
Watch it with me.
Okay.
I'll do a commentary. We'll do a live commentary for the podcast. Okay. I'll be like, this scene, oh my God, look at this. We'll pause it and like, look at this. How can you not think this?
Okay.
All right, so what are some of yours?
let me see what I have. I didn't have many.
There are so many.
I had Commando because of Bennett.
Okay.
I had Over the Top and Top Gun.
Okay.
I did have those three in there.
Okay.
That's my list.
So that's your list?
Yeah.
That's all?
That's all I got.
Jeremy.
I didn't spend a lot of time on this list because I knew
didn't
the majority
believe it.
Of the discussion was going to be coming from you. The mic time there. You know, I'm going to give a little shout out to Rocky III.
Yes! Rocky III's on my list. Yes,
for what
scene?
The frolicking in the water.
Yes!
It's pretty epic.
Apollo Creed and Rocky Balboa are training, and they go to the beach, and it starts off like they're exercising, but then they fuck each other in the ocean. They basically take off their little skinny boy shorts, and they're naked, basically.
Are these your fantasies?
No, this is what happens in the movie. They're splashing water on each other. They are hugging and kissing
splash
each
water
other.
At each other.
I mean, John and Jeremy do it all the time.
All the time. In the bathtub.
Just like that.
That's
like
totally
running.
Fine.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of all my rises in there. I like it.
Just two dudes having fun.
Is this two dudes saving water? That's all.
Saving water. It's just a game of gay being chicken that got out of hand.
Being environmentally conscious, I don't know what your problem
we're
is.
We're going green, man.
Yeah. I'm just saying, yes, that scene, Rocky 3, oh, good God. Oh, pretty much all the Rockies have some sort of thing in there.
Oh, no. But don't, Rocky 3. Don't even. I will defend Carl Weathers vehemently.
Have you seen that scene? We could look it up on YouTube. Just type
that
in
scene,
gay
I'll give
Rocky
to you.
3 and I'll, it'll come up with
that
scene.
Scene. I'll give you that scene, but say all of them.
All of, slow for it down. Part 2 and part 3 of this segment, I will bring up more Rocky movies.
All right.
There will be Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. There will be Chuck Norris movies.
Those episodes are going to be a monologue.
Because Bloodsport. I love Bloodsport.
Oh, don't go to Bloodsport. Come on.
Do you remember when Jean-Claude Van Damme was doing the splits in his room and Ray Jackson comes in and just like, oh, this is happening. That hurts me just looking at it.
Well, yeah. You wouldn't say the same thing if you saw someone doing the full splits?
There's more to that movie than you think.
Doing the full splits takes a lot of time and hard work.
Just saying. Just saying.
Just saying that splits are gay.
Don't go to Bloodsport. I've ruined John. I'm so excited. He's crushed. All right. Before we end our mediocrity podcast, we are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at @media_ocrity. Does anybody have anything they want to bring up, like some cool news that they read recently or things that are happening, things you're watching?
You said you want to talk about Luke Cage a little bit, right?
Yeah, with the new season of Luke Cage, and we marathoned it, and it was awesome.
So a lot of people are saying that it is like one of their favorite things now. What
it's
do you
pretty
think?
Great.
It's really good?
Yeah, it's really good.
The soundtrack is amazing,
so,
too.
It is? Who does the soundtrack? Who does all that?
I don't know.
It's just a mixture.
Mixture of stuff?
Yeah.
So with Luke Cage, is it like, is it on par with Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and better?
Yeah, it's on par, but, you know, I mean, just like how Daredevil is a completely different type of show from Jessica Jones, Luke Cage is nothing like any of those
shows.
They
all have their own flavors, you know?
Yeah.
But they're all still equally very, very good, but they all bring something completely different to the table.
So is Luke Cage a slow burn type of show, or is there a lot of action in it, or...?
There's more action. For me, Jessica Jones is very much a slow burn. Mm-hmm. Luke Cage is not the slow burn that Jessica Jones is.
Okay.
It's not quite Daredevil violent, but it's not Jessica Jones.
So is he like the new like hero now? Like, I think he's going to get like a big push and everything? Like Luke Cage? What? Huh?
Well, I mean, he's going to be in the Defenders show they're going to do.
Okay. So the same actor too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, how many episodes were this first season?
13.
Yep, the usual.
Yeah, it's getting crazy praise online.
Yeah, it's pretty good, man.
I've only seen the first 3 episodes, but I'm loving it so far.
It's good?
Really yeah,
good.
Give it gigantic 2 thumbs up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very rare for you.
Oh, I like plenty of stuff. I just don't like shitty stuff.
He likes Michael Coulter a lot. You get what I mean.
Michael Coulter looks awesome.
He's a badass.
All right. What else? What about you?
I watched the new X-Men Apocalypse movie, finally.
Okay, I actually like Apocalypse. I did. I enjoyed it.
I gave it a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, that's about what I got.
Yeah. It was pretty much exactly what
it
I expected
recommended.
It to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Recommended.
It was all right.
Yeah. I thought the Apocalypse himself wasn't great. I mean, I can't believe that was Oscar Isaac, but, I mean, because he's so heavily makeup, but I just thought the villain was kind
of
stupid.
Yeah, the villain was weak, and one of the things that I did not like was that you took, like, the 4 horsemen, which are supposed to be, like, supercharged superheroes, but going one-on-one with any of the X-Men, they all lost, basically.
Did you like the Sweet Dreams Are Made of These sequence?
That was okay.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I like Quicksilver. I like, what's the guy's name that played Quicksilver?
Evan Peters.
I liked him a lot. He's got a fun, good level of charisma.
I like the comedy
across.
In Apocalypse. Like, they made fun of, like, the 3rd one by Brett Ratner.
Yeah, talking
awesome.
About Return of the Jedi and all that.
Yeah.
So I thought it was pretty okay.
You know, it's funny, too, because when you look at the, you know, Quicksilver in those movies, you had Quicksilver there, you have the Flash TV show, and then you had Quicksilver in, you know,
Avengers.
In the Avengers movie. And it's one of the few areas that Marvel has flat out been beat in. It's like because Quicksilver was really kind of boring in the Avengers movie, and they totally get outspeedstered by a Fox movie and a CW TV show.
Well, Fox was the first like comic book franchise, like they did X-Men back in 2000. And there, I think that's like the only thing, because it's, or maybe Fantastic Four as well.
Well, they did Spider-Man also, right?
Yeah, but Spider-Man's now with Marvel now.
Sony.
Yeah, but they got it. Mm-hmm. So, and interestingly enough, I think Disney, I've been reading rumors, Disney wants to purchase Netflix. So, which will be really weird. Hopefully it wouldn't change. Hopefully there won't be any ads or... They would charge $3 extra a month now for since Disney bought it. But I mean, that would mean we would get like an entire Disney catalog on Netflix, which would be cool.
There's an interesting rumor regarding the Fantastic Four.
I have read that.
Do share.
So there's the new X-Men TV shows, and apparently Marvel has actually helped Fox develop these X-Men shows. And if that's the case, it's pretty good because they actually have supposedly cut off the creation of like new X-Men characters because they don't want to feed Fox like new stuff and new material because they eventually want the rights back from that. Well, supposedly what the rumor is that because Marvel actually helped Fox develop the new shows, that they're going to let them have the rights back to Fantastic Four.
Oh.
If that happened, oh God.
That'd be amazing.
And supposedly there's a new like untitled film on the Marvel schedule because they rearranged a ton of stuff when they got the Spider-Man rights, and then they moved back Doctor Strange. Like Doctor Strange was already supposed to have been out, but they moved all this stuff around, moved back the Black Panther movie, and so there's this mystery movie that's on there, and what a lot of people are speculating is that's actually going to be a Marvel Fantastic Four movie.
That would be great. That would be so cool.
That's what I've read, and we'll see. I'm not going to start sucking anybody's dick yet. I'd be surprised.
After this episode, I find that a little hard to believe.
and of course, the wrestling pay-per-view No Mercy is on this Sunday. SmackDown brand will be pretty cool. So we'll get back to you on that. We'll be back next week with More Mediocrity.
Episode 17 next week.
17.
Great googly moogly.
17 weeks we've been doing this. It seems like we're doing like 5 or 6 weeks.
Okay. It seems a little bit longer than that.
Yeah.
To me. I'm having fun, I guess. But thank you all for joining. Josie, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And we'll be back next week. Mediocrity.